Are you a comeback fan?
Yeah, we. You are. Which episode did we just watch? We just watched from season one when she goes to the Emmys.
I talk about this every episode.
The People's Choice Awards. Duh.
People's Choice, right?
Yeah.
The I talk about this on every episode. I'm sure people are so sick of hearing me talk about it, but. Do you think they could come back like a third season? Because it's been about the same span of time since the first and second season. Do you think that could? But I think they wrapped it up so nicely.
See, I have a huge problem with that finale.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
A lot of people loved it. I was surprised. To me, it was just like this show existed to obliterate the concept of the fourth wall. And then they constructed one.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
I know that like people... Like, I just don't think that Valerie actually deserves a Hollywood ending. I think that she is sympathetic, but I also think that she's a raving asshole. And what was thrilling about the show is that it's not afraid to do both. And I just thought the ending was too pat. So I really hope that they can do something else.
I'm a sap, though, for that kind of shit, though. So I loved that ending, but... By the way, everyone, this is Rich Jizwiak. We're on the B list. I'm B. Rich Jizwiak is a writer. He's written for New York Times, Washington Post, Jezebel, Gawker. He's a lamb.
I'm a lamb.
He's a lamb. He also has a podcast called Pot Psychology. It's weekly.
Yep.
What else did I miss?
My Slate sex advice column.
That's right. Okay.
That's a big thing in my life.
Yeah. How often is that one?
Well, it runs four times a week. I write it. I write it with Stoya.
Okay.
So, 1 week I do two columns. She does one. They're four questions each, and then every week we do a chat question. We go into one. So, a lot. It runs a lot. It's a lot.
I used to write a sex and dating advice column.
Oh, I didn't realize that. What did you do it for?
It was for Gay Letter. Do you remember Gay Letter? Mm-hmm. Or I guess they still exist, right? Yeah, it was in the early days of them. I did it for 3 years. The questions I would get.
Yeah.
My God. Do you get tons of inquiries?
Yeah, you know what? It was kind of, so we launched at the beginning of 2019, and it was definitely the sense that I got, because I don't have access to the mailbox. I get assignments. I guess that when they have, when two people are writing a column, it's probably easier that way to save... any kind of like, not that Stoya and I would argue over what we would choose, but just cutting out that step and any potential awkwardness that could come with it. I want to do that one. No, I want to do that one is fine with me,
Yeah.
I did get a sense from my editor that initially we had like just enough for like the first 6 months or so. And then he started a Google form, which allowed people to contribute questions anonymously. And now we're swimming in questions.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you're like backlogged.
We're backlogged. And I think the thing that, like, beyond whatever writing, I think what people truly, what people seem to appreciate is that we are heavily researched. We're always, like, reaching out to experts, like, always, always, always. So people come up with, like, incredibly difficult questions at this point that neither of us could possibly answer ourselves because they know we do that. Yeah. And so it can be very
intricate. I was so unqualified to be giving advice.
I reach out to people and I'm like, I actually need an expert for this one. but that's great because then sometimes it becomes like I write a mini piece. Like I've had questions where I've had like six sources on them because somebody asked, like, how can you be sure if the porn that you watch on tube sites that's amateur and user uploaded, if it features young looking people, how can you be sure that it's of age? I thought about that. Right. Yeah. It was a great question. It was so simply put. There was no go-to answer at all anywhere. I mean, I searched. The first thing I do is I Google, the answer, and then enough.
Well, that's most people. Yeah.
Exactly. Even if I save someone a Google, I think I'm doing them a service. But then I have to reach out to people when there is no Googleable answer for this or when the Googleable answer is oblique or unsatisfying. The short answer is you can never be sure. It was just wild really talking about, and I talked to people at Pornhub and I talked to people at X Hamster. So
probably a question they get often.
It was a question that they did not like receiving. X Hamster was actually fine, but Pornhub was a little bit shifty, let's say. Okay. And I talked to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and I talked about their whole process. I mean, you know, it was just really fascinating. And the point of this story is that sometimes people basically are just giving me ideas for stories with the amount of work and sources I put into them. And for that, I'm so grateful, because ideas are just so hard to come by. And
yeah, for sure.
It can be really somebody else in one that we haven't published yet. We talk about lesbian tops and bottoms, which required a historical research of that.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Super interesting. I was so glad that I'd been wondering that myself. Thank you for providing me the excuse to go hunt down that information, which I did. So,
also, I forgot to add to your list of accomplishments, coronavirus
survivor.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm a survivor.
How was that? Oh my God. Wait,
it was
so
just annoying.
You started getting symptoms when?
I started getting symptoms the first week of March.
Okay. So before the even lockdown.
Before the lockdown. And I was supposed to go see my family that weekend. Maybe it was like March 6th or so. And, you know, Corona was coming. It was like, what's going to happen?
Corona was coming.
Corona was on the way.
She was coming.
But it still felt like, who knows? So I canceled that trip to see my family in New Jersey. And I said it with a caveat, like, I know it seems dramatic, whatever, you know, but I'm just, I just shouldn't come.
Yeah, it's best. Yeah. Yeah.
And so at the end of that weekend, I got an ear infection, which is something I had a lot as a child, but haven't had in like 20 years. Yeah. Weird. I got drops. I was fine. The symptoms, by the way, that weekend, besides the ear infection, were just a cold, never a fever, never a dry cough.
You had like head stuff, right? You had like a lot of
mucus, phlegm.
Okay.
And so that's fine, whatever. 3 weeks later, which is now 3 weeks ago, I think at this point, I lose my sense of taste and smell.
That's the definite.
That was, that's, and it's not, and
sure
I,
sign.
And it's unlike that's ever happened to me before. And it has happened to me before when I've had such a cold that I can't get any, you know, odor, any vapor up my nose because I'm just blocked up. This was not that. I was not stuffed up. It felt like, I don't know if you ever experienced this feeling.
I've never like lost my sense of taste or smell or anything.
Well, let me tell you.
Sounds fucking miserable. Sounds miserable.
Well, imagine though the misery at this time when food is one of their few comforts that we have.
I
just want to like throw my dinner across the room at a certain point. I was so frustrated. But it kind of felt in my nose like, I don't know if you know the feeling if you've ever like use bleach to clean in an enclosed space where you feel like you've like torched your tubes.
The insides of your noses. Yeah. For like that's an entire day. It's like,
exactly. And that's what it felt like for about 10 days.
Ugh.
And, as this, a few days after this sets in, I started to get weird aches, like in my traps, in the part of my leg where my foot connects. It's like, what? Diarrhea. I'm monitoring my temperature.
Lot of people were saying they had like digestive issues with,
all of the other symptoms come back that I had 3 weeks ago. But worse.
That's another thing is that they go away, they come,
and then come back.
Back and forth. Yeah.
Exactly. My ear infection is so insanely bad. I can't even wear headphones, you know? And,
but you're fine now. Yeah.
Well, okay. So, and then I start to I'm checking my temperature and it starts to spike. And because it was fine all day as I'm feeling weird and whatever. And then it gets to 99.7 right before I go to sleep. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to wake up with a fever tomorrow. It's going to be, I have coronavirus. My boyfriend's going to get sick. My cat's going to get it, etc. I woke up the next day, not with a fever. And I knew I was going to be fine, you know?
Yeah.
Because what I haven't heard is fluctuation in terms of
the fever. The fever usually stays.
Exactly. It's an incline. You get worse and worse and worse. You don't get worse bad one day, better the next, worse the next day. That doesn't happen. At least not what I've heard. So I knew I was going to be fine. My scent and taste came back 10 to 14 days later. Pretty much. I'm still kind of gaining it back. I'm still noticing like, oh, I can really smell that candle today, which is nice. The weirdest thing, the reason I'm wearing these headphones and not my earbuds, which I vastly prefer, is that my ear infection came back this week.
Oh, shit.
I don't know why. And that's
just as bad as it was before. Is it like, but ear infections tend to do that. I mean,
And I'm wondering if it's because it was on my headphones or whatever. Like, I wonder if there's like a secondary sort of contamination that's happened.
And that's another thing they're saying, that it can happen. They're not completely sure that you can be immune from it.
Right? Exactly.
With like the antibodies. So.
Well, so that... I haven't read anything about that this week, but even as recently as last week when they were talking about the bunch of people in Korea that...
Yeah.
A lot of people...
And when we say bunch, I mean, it was like a small amount. It was 50 or something. It was small...
It was
a control group.
It was more than a few, but it wasn't a huge percentage. It was less than 1%, let's say, in Korea.
But still more than one person.
Still more than one person. But a lot of people that I've talked to that are experts feel that they're not convinced that reinfection has taken place, that it's a matter of the antibodies staying in the blood enough to give a positive result on the test, however many weeks later. Because the story that I read on CNN about these people who had retested, there was no indication of when they last had it. You know, if it was months,
it could have been longer than 6 months, and then they just become not immune anymore.
If it was, that's scary. If it was 3 weeks ago, well, you know, then it's not out of their blood yet. So false positives also. So like people that I've talked to that know about this stuff haven't been convinced that you will get reinfected anytime soon. You usually have a year or so with these things.
Well, my whole thing is I'm staying in the house. Like, even when we reopen, I'm staying in the house. I don't give a shit. Like, there's nothing is worth, you know. And it's not like there'll be anywhere to go. I mean, like, to be honest, what's your, because it changes every week.
Yeah.
What's your projection of when we're going to be out of this?
I think people are going to stop isolation in the summer, and then I think we're going to have to do it again in the fall. I think
there's definitely going to be a time we have to do it again.
Yes.
But I feel like we'll probably get out of this mid-June.
Right.
I feel like it'll be around then.
Yes, when people are comfortable enough to congregate again in some way.
And what do we mean by reopen? It just means like, I don't even know. It won't be bars and restaurants. Those definitely won't be reopened right away.
Well, maybe it'll be restaurants with tables very far apart, people have been talking about, but I don't know how that actually is useful.
Restaurants are really dirty places.
I mean,
don't think people understand how dirty restaurants are. Like, it's...
It also wouldn't make sense because, okay, we're sitting 6 feet away, but now I'm going to the bathroom and now I'm a foot away from you because I'm in New York and I have to like pass by you. A lot of restaurants aren't big. There's an air conditioning system.
They said that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It circulates the air in an enclosed space. It's like, I don't even take elevators anymore. It's like.
Right. It's going to be summer. So, yeah. I mean, I really have no idea.
Yeah. Anyways, Pride is canceled.
Mm. Well, I mean. It lives on in my heart.
Yeah. I didn't really need it. It's fine. They also they canceled everything. It's like the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Right.
What else? There was like...
I mean, is anything everything. Happening?
Yeah. Anything, yeah. Were you here for the last Pride?
Yes.
It was World Pride. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense. It was like the penultimate World Pride with Madonna and everything. And then it ended. Did you see Madonna at all? No.
No.
You're not. You don't really care for Madonna, right?
Well, I mean, I grew up loving Madonna.
But you don't need to see her.
I don't need to see her singing Madam X songs.
No, that's definitely not. Yeah.
I didn't need it. I don't need to see her singing anything really from the past 10 or so years. Although actually Hard Candy, I don't mind at all. And there's stuff on MDNA I actually like as well. Rebel Heart.
Honestly, the last stop I made on her was like Confessions on a Dance Floor, and
I think I
tapped out after that.
I mean, Hung Up is one of the best songs she's ever done.
Yeah.
I would even accept an argument that is the best song she's ever done.
You think it's the best song she's ever made?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if somebody felt that way, I wouldn't judge them, and I would admire them, in fact. Bold choice.
Okay.
It's very high for me.
You don't think Express Yourself would be...
No, I don't. Express Yourself isn't my favorite Madonna song either. I think my favorite Madonna song is Holiday. I love the first album. I think the first album is her best album.
Okay.
I don't love pseudo deep Madonna at all.
Okay.
So Ray of Light isn't my shit whatsoever.
I kind of grew up with that, so it's like different, but I get what you're saying.
I know that people love Ray of Light, and there are songs on Ray of Light that I like very much. I think Frozen is fucking awesome. I love Sky Fits Heaven.
What song do you think they're going to play when she dies? Like, if Madonna were to die tomorrow, what song do you think that they'll play in the streets for her?
I don't know. Like A Prayer, maybe?
I think they'd play Take a Bow.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think no?
I mean, it was her longest running number one, but it's just not remembered like that.
You know?
I think it would be like A Prayer.
Mariah's would be Hero.
Or maybe
One Sweet Day.
Yeah, it would probably be One Sweet Day, which isn't.
Yeah,
I mean, which is also her longest running number one. Not super intuitive in terms of its relevance. I actually,
One Sweet Day, if it's played at a funeral.
Is One Sweet Day often played in a funeral? I've never been at a funeral.
No, but the concept of the song, right, is about like lost loved ones, right?
Yes. So that in tandem with its success, even if it's not like the go-to Mariah song in the way that like Hero, like you say, is up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, We Belong Together was a huge, huge hit. Yeah. That's kind of her standard as well.
I would say We Belong Together is her best song.
It's really, really high up there for me. It's a wonderful song, especially on the second verse, how she just kind of flips the meter. You know, she changes up her flow. Yeah. She was just like a mastery. It was just a mastery of everything she had done in that kind of like fast, slow jam genre that she began working in with Breakdown.
We're going to get really deep into Mariah in a minute, but
I wrote
in bold here that I want to talk about Wendy.
Okay.
Because I know that you were following her at-home segment of her show, which is actually more entertaining than in the studio audience. Like somehow, okay, so recently they introduced the laugh track. I don't know if you noticed.
Yes, before, I did notice that. Before it was just
the silence of her kitchen.
Which was really surreal. And I've talked about it on the
podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, well, they refuse to like stray away from that setup vignette of her like with the Betty, I call her Betty Bloop now, because it's the black Betty Boop with the Supreme hat and the Chanel belt and like the Chanel bag. And it's like, and she, and like every day, if you take, because I have done this because I have time in quarantine, but like if you take side by side screenshots, every day there's like a new item that's slightly moved, but for the most, but for the most part, they're like, it's pretty consistent, but they'll just be like, it's even down to the plates and the glasses that she uses are always the same and she keeps them in the same spot, but there's like a mini fan or there's like something,
I'll tell you what I would like to see. I would like to see a comeback, like the comeback version of the filming of that show. You know,
show me the B-roll. To figure out how to set up a camera, right. And then like, no, Wendy, you gotta wire.
Yeah,
the yellow wire, Wendy.
Roll tape on the 20 minutes before that goes live.
Yeah,
and show me that.
So, on top of the laugh track just recently being introduced, I don't mind it. I kind of preferred the silence and the buzzing of her refrigerator in the background, and just like her.
Right.
Also, even down to the curling of her wigs is the same, because you could tell she's just taking it, putting it on the model head and plopping it on her head, not even gluing the wig down. Yeah. She's got like no makeup on. And so what I've noticed is that she's like eating now. Like she's like really dived head first into this. Like does like.
It's like a committed Tuesday, bit.
Totally. But like, and so I know that some of the producers, there's someone on the writing team that follows me on Instagram, and I was kind of dissecting what she eats every day.
Yeah.
And I think it definitely got back to her, because I talked to the writer about it. And they, and so the very next day after I posted some story about how mesmerizing it is to watch her eat, because half the time she's like forgets that she's filming and she's just like eating.
Yeah.
And it's just like her enjoying food, which is quite soothing. It's like, it's like mukbang.
It's like, you know, Trish Paytas. ASMR.
ASMR. Yeah. Do you know Trish Paytas? She's like the larger blonde lady who like lives in LA, and she just like orders she orders pizzas from like every possible pizza place, and then like taste tests them all and just talks. And this is essentially, but just like less talking, because it's just Wendy enjoying weird food, and she has the oddest taste. She has a weird tongue. But she like, so Tuesday I wrote down what she had. So Tuesday this week.
I didn't watch Tuesday, so.
Okay, so she had deviled eggs. With mayo and relish and ketchup.
On the side.
She puts like a dollop of them, I guess, on the deviled eggs.
Were they deviled?
She eats them like that's basically a fucking hot dog. She's treating them like they're a fucking hot dog. It's so insane to watch.
Well, it is really quite a thing to have condiments before noon.
Yeah, we're gonna get there.
Yeah,
I mean, if you look at her Instagram, she's always posting like the weirdest food. Like she like loves anchovies, and like one time she had like Cheez-Its and anchovies and hot sauce and Sour Patch Kids, and she's just like.
What amazes me is that her diet is so varied. I eat oatmeal every morning. I eat oatmeal,
Yeah, yeah.
And then I eat oatmeal with banana and peanut butter, and then an hour or so later, I eat a hard-boiled egg and broccoli, and I do that every single morning, unless I don't have one of those things. She really says
a lot about her that she has such a varied palate. I mean, like, she just wakes up and does whatever she wants to do.
The classic, but, of course, is the Slim Jim that she ate and this, was the heat she up roasted. Slim Jim. Yeah, with a lighter. Was,
the fucking Bic lighter. She looked like, I don't want to say it. I was going to say it online, but I didn't know if it would be construed different. It was just like, she looked like Pookie from New Jack City when he was lighting up. You know, remember New Jack City?
Right, yeah.
Like Chris Rock lighting up. But, well, because, you know, she used to be on. Anyways.
Yes, that's true.
Allegedly.
Well, I mean, she's talked about it, actually.
Well, she talked
about it. Did she write a book? Did she write a book?
She did write a book.
Does she have a memoir? Write a book.
I'm going to look this up now. I need to, I mean, I have time.
Yeah, you have time. I've been loving
it. I'm sure it's a fucking easy read. I would love an audiobook of her reading.
Exactly.
Her book.
Yeah. 100%. I'm into celebrity audiobooks, right? Celebrity memoir audiobooks. It's every day on my walk. I take a walk every day for like an hour, and I listen to a celebrity read their memoir.
Who is it today?
Demi Moore.
Okay. Yeah. That's the recent one, right? I heard it's really good. Yeah.
It's okay.
She's nuts. She,
I don't really like her.
Neither does her mom.
I know. Well, okay. So the thing about her is that here's what's interesting about Demi Moore's book is that usually with a celebrity memoir, they talk about their childhood for a few chapters and you're like, oh, get to the point when you're famous. With Demi Moore, her childhood was so fucked up that it was fascinating. Yeah. And then she gets to the fame part and she calls acting. She says acting is basically like a school, because she moved around so much. So she would go to school and she would have to figure out the pecking order and who not to offend, et cetera, et cetera. So it just became socializing, became strategizing.
Just different jobs? Different jobs, you mean? Like different like films?
No, this is when in her childhood, her family moved like 50 times or so. They just kept moving. And so she would always go into a school. Yeah. So she'd go into a school and she'd have to like strategize how to kind of win that school. Like, what is the social pecking order, et cetera. And she said that acting, that Hollywood was basically just another school to her. And it kind of shows, I think. She's kind of dispassionate about acting. And it's interesting that she made movies. And at one point was the highest paid woman actor in Hollywood with Striptease, $12 million.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, she just doesn't have the passion for it. Like, I don't know. I listened to Belinda Carlisle before this.
I love Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, yeah. I highly recommend.
She's probably got some really great stories from, because the punk, what people don't understand about the Go-Go's is they were punk rock the pop stuff. They were living in a punk, and what do they call it? They're like it's basically a punk dormitory in Hollywood with like the Germs and like X and all this stuff. So they were like not America's sweethearts like they later on.
Well, and
did she cover that?
Oh, yeah. She talks about
playing. I mean, even during their fame. I mean, they had the squeaky clean image on the outside, but they were like fucking groupies and doing coke and like.
Oh, well, okay. So a few things about that. To your point, I think the easiest way to illustrate what you're saying is if you listen to the Beauty and the Beat expanded edition on Spotify, the second disc, I say that in quotes, is a show from like 81, and they play an early version of Vacation that's totally a pop punk song, basically. So like they kind of retain that. They were definitely seen as sellouts by that scene when they released Beauty and the Beat, which was so slick. I mean, but she also talks about playing The Mask, which was downstairs of the Pussycat, the porn theater.
Yeah. And everyone would spit on them. And
she doesn't talk about being spit on, but
they said they would leave the stage mostly every night that they would perform at these places and like be covered and drenched in spit.
Right.
People just like hate them. But they were legit musicians like Gina Shock, who played with Edie and the Eggs. And listen, they're all like Kathy Valentine. They were all like legit great.
Well, and Jane Weiland is like a brilliant songwriter.
Yeah. Amazing.
She's so good. I always thought Jane Weiland was like the most virtuosic person band. I always thought so.
Yeah, she was the rhythm guitarist, and she wrote most of the actual hits.
Yeah,
anything that's a hit, she was the main one behind. I love that you love the Go-Go's.
I always liked the Go-Go's a lot, and I loved. It's also really weird because Belinda Carlisle basically just kept selling out for the next decade. Like, by the time she got to Heaven on Earth, that's just adult contemporary. There is no edge anywhere like on that album.
But I will say this though, she was adult contemporary, but she was like the pinnacle of female adult contemporary.
She was.
Like, Amy Grant wishes that no. she was Belinda Carlisle. She kind of came in. She was the Celine Dion before Celine Dion.
Heaven is a place
talent
on earth.
Wise, but
no, not talent wise, but just in terms of like moms liked her.
The Celine Dion fans are going to come for me now. Right. What are Celine Dion fans called?
I don't know. I don't.
Do they even have names?
I don't know. I don't. They must. But like
people with taste. That's what they're
yeah,
called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. They're also not very aggressive. Although they did. I did. When Celine Dion's record came out, a few Celine Dion stans, like multiple, were like, "Could you review her new album for Pitchfork?" because I sometimes write for Pitchfork, and they figured I actually probably could have pitched it, but I didn't even. It was like that's a little too much. So she does have these kind of this stand-up thrives in the Celine Dion fandom where they're trying to actively promote her like that. But I don't know what they're like.
They're not like barbs. That's for sure.
They're not barbs. They're not monsters. I mean, basically all of them are terrible. The Beehive is clearly the best fandom because they're right. You know, like you just can't.
Well, we're going to get to this in a minute. Too.
I can't wait.
But first things first, I want to say Wednesday, Wendy had just an orange and a champagne flute of just grape juice. Just grape juice. Like, who drinks grape juice? Are you a toddler?
Wow.
What is the health benefit? It's like 36 grams of sugar. Yeah. It's like more than like Coca-Cola. It's
grape juice is wildly sugary.
It's wildly sugar. Like, and she has this in the morning. Do you know sometimes she drinks Orangina? There's just like so much sugar in that. This is so crazy.
She likes her sugar. Maybe that's her caffeine. Like, she doesn't drink coffee, right?
I don't think so.
Maybe sugar is like what wakes her up.
She's always got a mug on her show, though. I don't know what's in the mug. It's probably liquor.
Oh,
allegedly.
Well, she always puts the cough drop in. I think it's tea. I believe she drinks tea.
Oh, so yeah, she's tea. Yeah, she
does. And then she puts the menthol cough drop in it.
Today, get this.
Yeah.
Sardines on crackers with tomato sauce, hot sauce.
What?
Topped with a dollop of yellow mustard. Dijon mustard or spicy mustard. Yellow mustard like Heinz. She's so crazy. I'm telling you. What is this? I want to take like a magic school bus trip through like Wendy's intestines or through her like taste buds.
That's truly amazing.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched this week. Except for Monday when they started doing the laugh track. I meant to, and it's easy enough.
Really
it's 20 minutes a day.
I only watch for the food and like her first talk. But then when she starts to the guests, I'm not that. Like Vivica A. Fox was on. I don't love Vivica A. Fox.
Well, I would certainly listen to anything Vivica A. Fox had to say. But
you know
like,
what was interesting? Whoa. About a year ago or two, I was saying before, and we'll get to this later, but like, you know, Garcelle Beauvais is now on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I don't think you don't watch Housewives, right?
No, I don't know anything about Housewives. So
it's fine. And so she's the first
is
black
it fine?
Woman on that.
Is it okay for me not to know? Are we not just going to isn't your show about Housewives?
No, not at all. I mean, we talk on it, you know, but no, we talk about everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't really like to recap shows. I fucking hate doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure people know. But Garcelle Beauvais is the first black woman ever on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But before that was ever announced, I was thinking to myself, I was like, why is Vivica A. Fox not a housewife?
Right.
Like, that is such a dead giveaway. Like, her beef with Kenya Moore from, I think it was what were they on to get? The Apprentice?
Yeah, they must have been on The Apprentice. Right.
And they had like built-in beef. I'm like, what? Where does she live? Like, she's got to be on one of these franchises.
She may be
such a great housewife.
She might be too good for it.
Maybe. Yeah, I think she thinks that she's too good for it.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. Perfect.
That's what
I mean. Yeah. She thinks. I mean, we like Vivica Fox, but she's not. Yeah. So
I mean, Denise Richards.
She's
Nia
Long. You're no Nia Long. Like.
Right. But you know, I mean, I would say that Vivica Fox's acting is about, at this point, as relevant as Denise Richards, and she's on, so.
Yeah, okay, we're going to get to her. I am obsessed with her. I didn't really like her that before. I mean, I like, you know, for the year obvious, like, Drop Dead Gorgeous, but I didn't really follow a lot of her career.
Yeah.
But now I'm just, like, knowing her on this level and how she is within that world, how she presents in that dynamic of women is like so intriguing. She's like the Wendy Williams. Like she
really
never has her hair done. She has a top bun all the time with a dirty wife beater. She shows up late to brunch, drunk on tequila on the back of her husband's motorcycle. And she just talks about his dick the entire time.
Oh.
And they're like, who is this woman? And she's just like, doesn't care at all about this. She's talking about having like, she ordered him a happy ending once from like a masseuse. Like she's just like, doesn't care about anything because she's listen, you've been married to Charlie Sheen this long.
Yeah,
you're like, yeah, I love her.
So she's I thought maybe life had kind of beat her down a bit, but she's free-spirited,
but there's not a sense of like carefree about her. You do feel like she feels bogged down by work and like stress about Charlie and dealing with her children, and he doesn't pay any child support. So there's like a level of like,
there's
a reason why she looks. Yeah, no, he hasn't paid child support in forever.
Why?
That's what she says. Yeah, they talk about it on this season.
Why? But why doesn't he? Yeah, doesn't he have millions and millions of dollars?
Didn't he? He got fired from the show.
Yeah, he made like $20 million a year for like 10 years.
Yeah, but you can blow
like
that shit in one summer.
Yes.
On a coke habit. Hello.
One thing I wanted to say about Belinda Carlisle, speaking of that, is that 70% of her stories involve cocaine. She did so much coke.
Love when they do that.
Yeah. And it opens in like 2005 and she's holed up in a hotel room in London for 3 days doing coke. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's recent. Oh, wow. So when someone tells me that it's that recent, I'm like, oh, you're still on a shit, huh?
Well, 15 years, you know.
But
she contends that she's not. Part of the book, at least 10 years ago when the book came out, she contended that she was clean. And I think she continues to contend so. And I'm rooting for her.
I can rip a cokehead's too. Yeah. It's not a problem. Yeah. Listen, I love Belinda Carlisle.
Yeah.
But before we get off the Wendy thing, I was just going to make a point though that I was talking to the other day.
Yeah.
To someone the other day, and I was saying that like it's so interesting because with everything, like I'm watching all these shows that are having to film at home now.
Yeah.
And without their studio audiences, like the level of like. Well, obviously there's like a level of production that's like not there, but there's just like without the energy from the audience and all the production crew and everything, some people are really being shown for who they are, which
so
is like
true.
An actual clown. Like I think Seth Meyers is not funny.
Yeah.
I don't think he's funny. I think Jimmy Fallon is like so unfunny without all the bells and whistles.
I think Jimmy Fallon is unfunny with the bells and whistles.
Yeah. Even with that. Yeah.
You know?
But like, it's just like so blatantly.
Yeah.
I think that SNL is a little bit struggling and
they're
doing what they can though. SNL is different. So, but even like, I mean, Andy Cohen's, I like Watch What Happens Live, but without being in that set of the small studio, the clubhouse, and like having the audience there, it's like really different. But for some reason with Wendy, she seems like more Wendy in this situation. Like it seems like I'm getting more of her.
You know why that not is? Because she's like such a fame scholar that she knows exactly what she needs to do to be entertaining, basically. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to Tracy about this and she was saying like, because she worked on radio for so long, so she's usually just talking at herself.
That's true.
And she speaks into the black hole, so it just makes so much sense into the void. So she's just like, hey, just fill up the time.
Exactly, just shoot the shit. And Wendy on the radio was often that exactly.
So I love it. I wish she would have the time or the energy to still do radio somehow. Because,
I know.
Yeah.
You've listened to the Whitney Houston interview, right?
Oh, this is exactly what I was going into. I have it written down right here. Right. So I was thinking about, I wasn't just thinking about this. I think about this once a month, every single month, every month of the year.
Yeah.
Usually in the summertime, me and my friends will sit down when we're all in a house on Fire Island on a rainy day or something.
Yeah.
Usually if you go around Memorial Day, it's still pretty shitty weather. So we'll pick a day and just sit in it and listen to the entire interview on loudspeakers.
Right.
We talked about having like actual table readings of it. Maybe do like a stage play version of it because it is so. Listeners, if you have not seen this, I'll put it on the Patreon and you guys can have a link to it.
Right.
I'm going to write that down somewhere before I forget because usually I tell people that I'm going to put something on the Patreon and I fucking forget.
Right.
Whitney, sorry, I have to write this down or I'll forget. That is the best interview and the most captivating interview I've ever. And it's the best interview ever for me.
Well, I just love that Wendy like really knew exactly what she needed to do to kind of keep her on the line. She didn't flinch.
Also, it was she didn't know that she was calling. It was totally.
She did it on the fly, and she just
did it. And she did it on the fly, and she had the questions there. Totally. Like, it's like she knew.
Yeah.
I love Wendy. She's such a fucking professional. When she's good, she's so good.
She's a great interviewer.
She's such a, yeah. So she was, they're going back and forth. I was always thinking, remember that Ryan Murphy series? I think they only did one season, but Feud.
Yeah, they're doing Feud. Another one.
They are? Who's the second one?
I can't remember who it is, but I heard.
It should be Wendy and Whitney. It should be Wendy and Whitney.
Oh, well, actually, as of February 4th, 2019, Ryan Murphy didn't have Feud Season 2 planned just yet. I don't know. I felt like I heard them say it. Interesting.
I don't think there's going to be. Are you sure?
Maybe not. You know what? That was my favorite thing that Ryan Murphy ever did on TV. He does, but that
American
season,
Crime Story has been 3 years since the last one, 2 or 3. And the next one's going to be, it was supposed to be Monica Lewinsky and Bill.
Right.
Clinton, so, but that's probably held up.
The way that I felt about Feud... Okay, so the way that I felt about the first American Crime Story about OJ is that the ESPN epic documentary also came out at the same time, and I thought that was far superior to American Crime Story, which kind of made this horrific crime a little bit campy, which I thought was like, and I say this as someone who loves bad taste in bad taste. Feud totally used the medium so much better because it talked about sort of the emotional reality in a way that a documentary really couldn't, that narrative could. And to me, it just lined up so well. And I just thought that was perfect. And I came out caring much about Bette Davis and Joan Crawford. That show made me love both of them and understand why both of them are so great. Cause I didn't before that. I mean, I'd seen,
you'd seen whatever happened to Baby Jane before. Yeah.
I'd seen that and I'd seen All About Eve, but never really appreciated it. I only appreciated All About Eve as like a precursor to Showgirls. I now also do love those films. And you know, I watched Mildred Pierce with Joan Crawford, which is fucking awesome. Mm-hmm.
See, I feel like John Waters, I'm obsessed with John Waters, and John Waters wouldn't exist, I don't think, without all of those things, too.
So totally. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, Feud, I really, really liked. It was my favorite thing Ryan Murphy ever did on TV.
But then I was thinking today, I was trying to find, you cannot find this streaming anywhere. And if you can, let me know. But I was thinking about Whitney. No, Whitney. Oh. And I was thinking about Being Bobby Brown.
It's not on YouTube?
No, it's not on. I don't think it's on YouTube.
It was.
No, I don't think. I think I searched there.
I have it on DVD. I
could, you do?
Yeah. I recorded it off of Bravo.
It is such a good. I mean, okay. Being Bobby Brown or an Anna Nicole Show? Which ones?
Being Bobby Brown, but the Anna Nicole Show, I really like. You could watch Being Bobby Brown on YouTube.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so dumb. I was looking on everything except for YouTube. Jane, cut this.
Yeah. No, I mean, maybe people don't realize it because there isn't an official way to stream it, but there's an unofficial way to stream it. And you should do that. You should rewatch it.
Yeah, I love 80s slasher horror movies. And usually all the ones that you can't find anywhere else are usually always on YouTube.
Right. So. But Amazon has a good selection of 80s.
Yeah, Amazon's pretty good. Yeah.
Prime. Yeah.
But I was thinking about Being Bobby Brown, and I was thinking about how I want to watch that during quarantine. And I was thinking about what an amazing show that was. But then I was thinking about what if Whitney was like still alive today and with Bobby and going through quarantine, like what that would mean for us. Like, what can you imagine lives? Could you imagine the Instagram lives and like the TikTok dance challenges? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Remember like them dancing in the glasses shop when she's trying on the glasses and they start doing the shuffle? In
this
the
works. This works for me. This works. Me. This works for me.
This works for me. It worked. It looked good.
Yeah.
And glasses, then also the glasses, shut it up. Glasses. The shut it.
Yeah. When they were dancing the Black Eyed Peas. my most selfish reaction to Whitney's death that happened in concurrence with several other reactions was we are missing out on a great old lady. She would have been the best old lady of all time.
Such great stories.
I mean,
like sitting like 75 years old in a rocking chair. Then I put the smack up my butt.
Yeah.
And then it's
it sucks that she is dead. Yeah. It just is the worst. I hate it. She's my least favorite. Like, I mean, out of everybody, if I could have one back or one that never died, Whitney would be on top of the list. Number one.
For sure. Well, yeah. I want Whitney Prince. Back. But then I think, but then Prince wasn't even as prolific in his later years as like Whitney was still on the uptick of like coming back.
Whitney and was always going to be fast. Like, look, Prince is my favorite musician of all time. I mean, bar none, just number one for me. But I don't care at all about any Prince albums in their entirety after Emancipation in 97. And I don't even care about that in its entirety. But I think his music just dropped off so much. Wait,
so what Whitney album do you love and complete?
But the thing is that like Whitney had the public, I guess My Love Is Your Love, to answer your question. And the first one comes close. The first one has a lot of singles. But you know, also Whitney album incomplete. But Whitney album incomplete, I mean, like, you know, in the 90s, it was so many soundtracks, you know?
It's true. Yeah.
Preacher's Wife is a good album too. But Whitney had the public persona thing where Whitney always was going to be compelling, and Prince, while he was a great performer until the day he died. Yeah, the music, he was secretive and not nearly as present, and he would show up and it would be nice. Oh, there's Prince at the Grammy. This is looking cool. But also I just had nothing to, his music had nothing to offer me.
I think we have a similar sensibility in terms of like people like celebrity that we like. Yeah. And I think that she fits that mold of like craziness on, you know what I mean?
She's the prototype. I think she is the mold, you know?
Yeah. So someone put a meme up the other day. I think it was like Twitter. It was like the most hateful quiz ever, but it was like four idols. It was like,
oh, Whitney, yeah, one has to
Mariah,
go.
Janet, and Beyonce. One of them has to go. And I was like, whoever did this is trying to sow seeds of discord and distrust in our community. And I won't stand for it. And I reported the account.
I blocked them. it was fucked up. I saw that and I was like, oh, someone wants drama.
I mean, listen, it's like, I mean, the right answer is Beyonce.
Yeah. Well, it's the only answer, really.
It's the only answer. I'm sorry. I love you, but you have to go. I don't need Beyonce if I have Janet and Mariah there, because she wouldn't exist without. And I'm sick of everybody discounting the credits and the accolades of Miss Janet Jackson. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, it's like it's sex negativity. I mean, Janet has so many hits that her greatest hits has the greatest hits. She released like a 2 CD greatest hits in like 2009 and then a 1 CD version of it. there's no living to me without Janet Jackson's music. You know, she is like, but you know, I think of Janet Jackson as an industry. I think of, when I think about Janet Jackson, when I say Janet Jackson, I mean Janet Jackson and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and Renee Elizondo some of the time when it was really, really good. He wrote really good songs for her. It would have to be Beyonce, but also I have a generational bias, and I don't want to say this either. The reason why that tweet was hateful was because it's obviously the answer, and then you piss off the beehive, and like, you know.
And that, then everyone was just fighting in the comments. It was just like, we don't need this right now in 2020.
I would guess most people's answer though would be Mariah.
They said a lot of people were saying Mariah. Well, most people were seeing Janet, and it was like,
oh, really? People were saying,
yeah.
Well, because she doesn't have.
I think
because
she makes less music, and like, you know, Mariah has a recent album out. I think it's, you know, she's like far less in the.
You could certainly, I could see somebody of a certain age just completely not getting Janet. But I think it also takes a nuanced ear. You know, she doesn't have a virtuosic voice in terms of range and power, but the stuff that she does with her voice is so fucking pleasant. And Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and she knew exactly what they needed to do to give her the songs where her voice would work the best. And it's just, and it's also this like gradient of soft. She has so many different things that she does with her voice, given the, no offense, limited capabilities that are still considerable.
She swerves in her lane. Yeah.
I once interviewed Janet on the phone.
You did?
It was.
What year was this?
It was Discipline. So it was 2009. I worked at VH1. Okay. And, you know, that was not a particularly successful time for Janet.
Yeah, Discipline, home of the iconic flop Feedback.
It went top 20.
But it still didn't do what it was supposed to do. I created a Spotify list called Flops. And I update it daily almost. Feedback was a recent. Every day I add a new song. Like Will of Ford is on there. Huh?
Yeah. What? I want to be bad?
I want to be bad. I'll send you
that.
That's,
a hit.
That is not a hit. You know it. Yeah. And it's an amazing song.
No, it went, it went top 40 or something like that. It was a big enough hit.
Okay. It could be like top 13, like it could be number 13 on the top 20. And I could still consider that because I'm thinking about it in larger terms of not just commercial success, but also, or do people talk about it today? Did it break? Yes. Like, is it part of the pop culture lexicon today? Do you hear it in places? Do you hear it? No one plays it on the radio, but it's an amazing song.
Yeah. I'm giving a pro. I know exactly what you're saying. And I think
flop is not a negative term. Flop isn't it. Flop. Actually, it's like these are songs that deserved better and we would like to give them a second life.
So to me, the Billboard Hot 100 is canon whenever talking about this stuff. You're a one-hit wonder if you've had one top 40 hit, which includes people like Kate Bush and D-Light, which I like. But to me, one top 40 hit, one-hit wonder. But what you say rings true and I think is a maybe even truer way of looking at it today. What the legacy has meant in terms of relevance of this stuff. And sure, I Want to Be Bad, no one's singing, you know, except for me sometimes in my head. but
it's an amazing
song.
It's the first song I ever added to Flops.
But I've actually, I'm working on a project with 80s and 90s music that touches on this idea now. That
I'm going to send you this playlist.
No, I opened it.
I would like your input. I would, because I'm adding new songs every day. But I would like your input if you have any. We need more like 80s and 90s and maybe some hip hop or something, you know. But then this led me to iconic 80s and 90s flops and also hits. Did you watch the Teddy Riley Babyface?
No, I don't understand these Instagram things that are happening. What is it even? What do they
old
do?
Fuck? Okay, so it's really fun. I mean, okay, so I'll be on my phone watching it, but then me and my friends all watch it together and we'll be on a Zoom call or house party, rather. Yeah. And we'll watch it together that way. But so the first one that I ever saw was, I think it was like Neo and Jonta. What's his name? Jonta. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. He wrote everything.
He wrote and produced We Belong Together. I
think. Yeah.
So basically they have rounds and they start off just doing song for song, but they play like about a chorus. They play like a verse and a chorus and that's
it. Jonta Austin.
And so they do song for song and they go back and forth and they start kind of at the bottom, but the bottom meaning like still great songs. And they build up to the top two songs. For Jonta and Neo, it was Irreplaceable by Beyonce for Neo.
Yeah.
Neo. And then Neo. And then We Belong Together by Jonta.
Cool.
Obviously, We Belong Together is far superior than Irreplaceable.
So,
I'm sorry.
But it's a battle. How do they determine who wins? How do they determine
just
who wins?
Just the audience. I mean, you can see the comments and everybody just the consensus, you can tell. As it goes along too.
Okay. All right. I want science. I want a number. I want a quantitative
poll. It's a feeling. It's kind of a feeling. Right. It's America, so we don't really deal in facts here. It's like no science or numbers.
Sure.
There was a Lil Jon and T-Pain one, which is really good. Because they're perfect for each other. And I think T-Pain won that.
Yeah, that makes sense. What was T-Pain's number one? Was it Buy You a Drink?
Oh fuck, I forget. What was it?
That's what I would
think.
That's
it
what
was.
I think it was.
Yeah, that's the best. Obviously, I think Turn Down for What was Lil Jon's number one.
Makes sense.
Yeah. They're a fun pairing because they were like obviously friends. So you could see their energy was like fun. There was, they had like a pop one. It was Ryan Tedder.
Yes.
And what's his name? Billy, what is it? Blanco. Benny Blanco.
Okay.
Benny Blanco. So it was like Kesha and like, it was good.
Yeah.
So they're talking about future ones. Like Timbaland and Swiss Beats already went. They're talking about future ones and they're saying
that they
want.
Why would Timbaland not go again? It should have been Timbaland and Pharrell.
That's what I would say because they're way similar. Swiss Beats is like, Swiss Beats could go against like Metro Boomin. Like Swiss Beats is, it's like Swiss Beats is no match for.
Come on.
It's like Bethany versus Kelly. You don't watch Real Housewives of New York.
No. Wait, okay, what was Timbaland's number one? Was it One in a Million?
I didn't watch that one, actually. I didn't watch that one.
Is there a log of this stuff?
So people always make some... They're on YouTube, I think, actually. Okay. And then also people make playlists. People make playlists of them too, of all the songs.
Okay. You know, it's
but
funny,
basically like the okay, so here's the thing about the Teddy Riley Babyface one, all right? Originally it was scheduled for Sunday.
Right.
Everyone showed up on Sunday.
Mishaps.
We showed up. Right. Babyface was sitting alone in his home studio. He has just gotten over coronavirus. He's just sitting there chilling. He has his like speakers ready to go and his phone set up.
Right.
Cut over to Teddy Riley, who has a full live band set up. He has his red fedora with his red matching jumpsuit. He has a background dancer. He has a drummer. He has a mic stand. He has all this stuff. And then there was so much echo and like he couldn't get the sound right. He ended up spending an hour just doing sound check, wasting everyone's time. Do you know how hard it is to waste someone's time in quarantine?
Yeah, apparently very, very hard.
Like, yeah, so I was pissed.
Yeah, we all just I knew people were mad.
My mom was logged in there too. My mom was like, "Fuck this!" Like, yeah, right. Like, so they ended up having to reschedule it for Monday. I rewatched it. Now Teddy was like, came back with his tail between his legs. He was so embarrassed. I mean, CNN covered how bad this was.
Right.
So he was like, yeah, even the white people were talking about this. So Teddy Riley comes in, they start doing it. They're just sitting in studios this time and just doing it on their phones, and it's what it was supposed to be. Right. Obviously, Babyface won. Babyface was pulling out the Tony Braxton songs. He was playing like
Tevin Campbell.
Tevin Campbell.
Did he play Madonna?
He
play Take
didn't,
a Bow?
Actually. I don't think he even pulled that one out because he didn't need to. Babyface
How about
has
TLC?
So many fucking hits. TLC, he played Red Light Special.
Karen White.
I'll send you
Bobby
this playlist
Brown.
Too. Bobby yeah. Brown was played left and right because Teddy Riley, he played
Good
On
enough?
Our Own, the Ghostbuster
around?
Song.
Okay.
You know how good On Our Own is
yeah.
by Teddy by Bobby yes. Brown? That song yes, is so I'm fucking good that you aware. Forget how bad Ghostbusters 2 was.
I like, need to rewatch Ghostbusters 2. I don't even remember it.
It was
Is it bad? Is it really bad?
It's bad, but it's kind of scary as a young kid seeing that because right. it's like when Sigourney Weaver is like possessed.
Right. Remember that? Well, that was the first one. Is she possessed again in the
was
second
one? Is that the
one?
First one? Was that the first
yeah,
one?
Yeah, when she's Zool.
Oh, my bad. Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen the female reboot of Ghostbusters.
I fell asleep, but, you know, no shade. Seemed fine. So, it seemed fine.
I was going to... Yeah.
Seemed like no worse
than
any other stupid movie
that's
out. I
watch it. I'm watching crap right now. I'm just going through old James Bond movies right now on Prime. Wait, so real quick. I wanted to ask you, though... So they're talking about doing Puff Daddy next and Dr. Dre.
Okay.
But who would you want to see? Like who would be?
Oh, who would be my people?
Your dreams. I mean, they have to be songwriter producers. They could be performers too. Missy Elliott would be a good one. Again, but I can't picture who she'd be against.
Well, if they wanted to do like a girl thing, they could do like Missy Elliott versus Candy.
I was just going to say Candy Burris, but I think Candy Burris versus Carrie Hilson.
Oh, that would be cool.
Because that would make sense. I feel like they're on the same level. I don't think Candy Burris is not on the same level as Missy Elliott.
She's not, but like she's written, like she could come within striking distance with Bills, Bills, Bills and No Scrubs, you know?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess it would be hard because it'd have to be saving it. I mean, she's written some other stuff, obviously. Great stuff. I love Escape. I love Escape.
There's so many other producers we're forgetting about, too.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, Max Martin would be a great one if you wanted to do a pop one. Him versus the rapist.
Dr. Luke, right. I mean, that would make the most sense. Well, they worked on stuff together, though, too. So who would get, they did Since You've Been Gone.
Oh, I guess, yeah, you can't split them up.
Yeah.
It's like that's basically just a circle jerk. That's not even like a battle.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I think Timbaland and Pharrell, I know Timbaland already went, but they did that wrong. So I would request Timbaland versus Pharrell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to see
Kanye West versus Pharrell.
Yeah. How about like
Kanye West?
How about like Kanye West? Sure. Kanye West, the thing is, it's so hard with Kanye because he's about so much more than the music, but ideally
Drake versus Kanye West, maybe.
Well, in an ideal world, I would love to see Just Blaze versus Kanye West, but people wouldn't react to that. You know, it would be like, Kanye won because he's Kanye, but like he
Calvin
and Just
Harris versus someone.
Calvin, well, not, Calvin Harris versus,
Diplo.
No, like, I mean, no. No, like Paul Oakenfold or something.
Is he dead? Or is no. that the one that died?
Avicii would be the one with Calvin Harris. Okay. But, yeah. Or okay. No, yeah. It, you know what it is? It's Calvin Harris versus David Guetta. That's who it is.
Oh, absolutely. That makes so much sense. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but I wouldn't love that. I don't. It's hard because like I like a lot of music. You know, it would be cool if like the guy from Tame Impala did. I don't know who else is a weirdo pop producer.
You know what's also like? There's a lot of country female. There's in country music. There's a lot of female songwriters that right. write songs for a lot of major men and women, and just like kind of, you sure. know, Bonnie Raitt is somebody that could like. But it's like, you know, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah,
but,
and I don't know yeah. if Bonnie Raitt's yeah. audience would care.
Yeah, yeah. Have you heard of Too Hot to Handle?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
It's like on Netflix. Do you watch mm-hmm. Netflix shit? I find most of it's garbage. Like 90% of the content King. Is like. Oh, what did you think of that?
Well, I'm
like
so sick
of like here it's like
I like the first two episodes, and then while I agree that the stuff about Carol's husband is awfully suspicious, I thought mm-hmm. that the third episode was so inconclusive oh. and that for an entire episode to be about this like crime that there's really no proof aside from a weird will, it kind of pissed me off, and I liked it less and less as it went on. I
also, the director gave an interview recently, like a couple of weeks ago, and he said that, yeah, like Joe Exotic is like, no, like by definition, a complete racist. Like there's so much yeah. stuff that they had to cut out of the shit. Like I just can't like get down with like I don't want to like make memes about like a bunch of antagonists. Like no one on that show and that movie, or not the movie, the series is likable.
Yeah,
there's no one I can root for. There's
I
not
agree.
One person.
And that it doesn't surprise me at all that he's a racist. But what
it doesn't surprise me at all that he's run for office. Like watch right. him get out of prison and the exactly. way people are deifying him, and he totally. Ends up being our next fucking president. It would so happen.
Totally, but I was really bothered when he like when the cat got aggressive with him, and then he just like freaked out and hit it and was like yeah. really like just yeah. like freaking out at the animals. I thought that was terrible and fucked up, and it made me. I mean, also the food shit was so disgusting that he was like feeding his staff spoiled meat.
Oh, like the expired meat.
Yes.
Oh,
that's what. That's awful.
Why do people love this shit, especially during quarantine? It's like we need fun shows. I need like pleasant like. This is what I was telling someone. I wish Cheer had come out now.
I wasn't into Cheer. I couldn't get into it.
No?
I tried no. twice. I understand that it's good and that people love it, but I just don't have it in my heart to
yeah,
care about
no,
cheerleading.
Can't force it.
I just
can't,
don't care yeah. about cheerleading. And that's no shade to cheerleading. That's fine if you want to do that in your time. I believe it's
that's
a sport
fine if
even.
You want to do it. I just don't yeah. just don't put it in front of my face.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Do it in your house.
Keep it in your bedroom. Yeah. No, I'm totally fine with cheerleading existing. I don't. I think it's a totally valid.
Totally fine with it existing.
I think it's totally valid. I think it's a totally valid way to spend your time. But I don't care about it personally, and you're never going to make yeah. me care about cheerleading. You're never going to convince me that it's something worth my attention, for yeah. better or worse. And a lot of garbage takes up my attention. It's just not my stuff. So
yeah, yeah.
No shade to any of those fine athletes.
So wait, Too Hot to Handle though is like oh, a right. new reality show on Netflix, yeah. and it's like it's basically like Love Island, but just no sex.
No sex.
They, like,
why
they can't have sex? Like if the producers find them having any or even kiss, they can't even kiss, because they lose the chance or I guess it like ticks down the amount of money that they could potentially get.
So it's about
for every
abstinence.
Abstinence.
It's a show promoting abstinence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you watch Love Is Blind?
No.
Okay. Oh, I think you would. I don't think you would hate it.
Yeah, it seemed fine. It seemed kind of like TLC-ish.
No, but like, I think it's. I think you would. I think if you gave it just a chance and make it past like one episode, it would like, yeah, but.
I have too much other stuff to watch, honestly. I mean,
yeah.
I haven't watched Twin Peaks all the way through. I have stuff to do. I've been watching a lot of movies, yeah. old movies. I like old movies. So.
Same. Yeah.
That's like
we'll get
I'm
to
not...
this in a minute. Speaking but of, I'll... we're
you can say
well, no, finish what you were saying. What were you saying?
I started watching Enlightened, and I watch. Okay. I hate to tell you, I hate to admit this, but I watch Mama June every week. Terrible. Shit. I feel terrible for watching that show, but I do.
Wow.
It's got me.
Wow. Yeah.
And like when Love After Lockup was on, I watched that. I watched 90 Day Quarantine.
Though. We like trash.
Yeah. Totally. So yeah. What I'm saying is that if there's something that I haven't watched, that's no judgment on that at all, because I like fucking garbage, like just the worst, mind numbing shit. So
that's why we get along. Yeah.
It's just a matter of like where my attention is, not any kind of judgment, you know.
Add it to the pile.
Exactly.
Speaking of more trash, we are wrapping up here, but we're going to head over to the B-side, which is the bonus episode. To subscribe to the B-side and hear more of our conversation, you can subscribe on Patreon. That's the B-list / patreon.com. We are going to talk about Stanley. I'm just used to it.
Yeah, I mean, keep going. Yeah. I just interrupted you. No, I'm used to it. We're
fucked up my flow
with ours. I'm sorry. I'm sure you can get it back. No. You're really good at it.
We are going to discuss, amongst other things, Stanley Tucci, 90s thrillers, and Jackie Christie.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
I'll
be there.
Rich, do you have anything that you want to tell the people? Do you want to tell them where to follow you on social media? If you want to maybe tell them your Twitter, you don't want them to. Okay.
No.
Where can they?
Don't bother me.
No.
Thank you for listening, but don't bother me.
Okay. Any projects you have coming up?
You know, I'm always doing something.
Did you learn anything new from this episode?
I learned about these Instagram, these things I've been hearing about that I never investigated what they actually are.
I think
are.
You should invest in just one. There's going to be some good ones coming up. Timbaland and Swiss Beats are like, they're coordinating them between producers. So they're like the middlemen.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, that's I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to go back and watch stuff for sure. And also I learned that Wendy had. Yeah. Oh, what's the one coming up?
No. Sorry.
What was the one coming up?
Wendy had sardines. Sardines. I forgot, honestly. Fuck it.
Deviled eggs. I learned all about that.
Yeah. To everyone listening, if you subscribe to the Patreon, I'll be dropping the menu down of Wendy's weekly meals. I shouldn't promise that because then I would actually have to keep it up.
Oh, you should absolutely do that. That's a great project. You should 100% do that. And also, I would like to challenge listeners to leave a comment on what they learned from this.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Or just leave a rating and review on the iTunes page. That's definitely always great. I don't know the reason why you're supposed to do that, but a lot of podcasters tell me that you're supposed to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of whisper down.
So please do that.
Wrote me lane. Yeah.
Please do it. Please leave a rating and review. If you haven't done it yet, it takes 1 second to do. Just do it. It keeps the mics on here.
Right. Keeps the lights on.
Say bye, Rich.
Bye, Rich.
Okay.